Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Brian Entrekin.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. I'm your host, Brian Entrekin, a.k.a. KC Bubba. You can find me on the Twitter at BDEntrek, B-D-E-N-T-R-E-K. Hope you all enjoyed Thursday's action on the Diamond. I'm here to recap today and get you ready for Friday, heading into another weekend hosted by Jake Crumpler. Before we get to the news and notes from the day, hope you guys enjoyed the Rickwood game between the Giants and the Cardinals. Really great one there. If you like baseball, you like baseball history, whatever, lots of amazing stuff there, from just looking at the old layout of the ballpark to the new layout of the ballpark, the Negro League stories from the president of the Negro League that was in the books or in the booth, and a lot of that stuff from Reggie Jackson's amazing conversation on the set before the game that people should definitely listen to Barry Bonds and Griffey being on set and Bonds just talking great. And then the second they asked him about his godfather, started, you know, crying on set. It was just a great overall, just if you're a baseball person, and a phenomenal deal. Baseball, we make fun of Rob Manfred for a lot of things. The Field of Dreams was cool. This Rickwood one was very, very, very good. This was they need to do more things like this. And I talked to Ryan Bloomfield on our Bubba and the Bloom show from Thursday. It'd be cool if they did this every year, just have it a rotating thing like the hockey does the stadium games, and there's other types of things like that. NFL does NFL Europe games, like Rickwood, Field of Dreams, do them both every year. I don't care. Like, have some fun with it. I think there's a lot we could do with this. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. Very, very great game. Great for the game of baseball, for fans of baseball, and just history of baseball. Some really cool stuff there. All right, some other news and notes from Thursday. Jake Bloss of the Houston Astros, prospect, double-A prospect, 11th-ranked prospect in the Astros system, 2023, who's a third-round pick by the Houston Astros. Jake Bloss is going to get called up to make his debut on Friday for the Houston Astros with Justin Verlander out with his neck injury. The Astros are in need of some pitching help. Bloss has made 12 starts between high A and double A this season with a 1.74 ERA, 60 strikeouts and 62 innings pitched. We'll see how things go. The general manager of the Astros said, hey, we're into our depth. We need some help, and we need a guy that throws hard and throws strikes, and that's what Bloss does. We'll see how that translates to the bigs in his debut, but should be a fun one to watch if it goes well, and it looks like he might get a couple starts. There's some fantasy relevance there, but let's wait and see how things go on Friday with Mr. Jake Bloss. Dan Altavilla of the Kansas City Royals was placed on the IL with a right oblique strain. Steven Cruz was recalled from AAA. Nolan Arenado of the Cardinals missed the Rickwood game on Thursday, as expected. We talked about this on yesterday's show, dealing with the elbow injury, suffered from a hit by pitch. He did take infield pregame, trying to make some throws, do some fielding. He's still sore, but the expectation is Arenado will return on Saturday. Brandon Crawford got the start at third base against his former team and doubled his first at-bat. Charlie Blackmon of the Colorado Rockies was once again out of the lineup for the Rockies on Thursday. He's still considered day-to-day with his hamstring injury. Nolan Jones was out of the Rockies lineup for a second straight game as he's still battling an illness. He's hopeful to return on Friday, though, where Blackmon still might need a few more days. Jason Dominguez of the New York Yankees, we knew he had an oblique injury. We didn't know the severity of it. Well, the Yankees announced the severity of Dominguez's oblique injury on Thursday. He's going to miss at least 8 weeks. So if you're stashing Jason Dominguez, cut ties with that one, the way I look at it. CJ Abrams mentioned on yesterday's show he was scratched with a wrist injury, having an MRI. No one knew how it happened, and this is why. It was a fluky, weird thing. The MRI revealed a cyst on Abrams' left palm near his wrist. So he has a cyst. No one knows how that happens. That's just a weird thing. Abrams considered day-to-day for now, but I don't know how they're going to get rid of the cyst without likely cutting into it, but we'll see how that one plays out. Max Kepler of the Minnesota Twins left Thursday's game with neck spasms. He injured his neck diving headfirst into first base, trying to run out a bunt. For now, Kepler's considered day-to-day. Gleyber Torres of the New York Yankees left Thursday's game with a right groin injury. The Yankees said it's just tightness, that it was precautionary to take him out of the game, and that Torres should be considered day-to-day. Adele Amador of the Colorado Rockies was removed from Thursday's game with a mild oblique strain. I don't like hearing anything oblique, mild, severe, whatever. It's an oblique strain, but we'll wait more news from the Rockies on Friday. Amador was a prospect that has some hype, and people have been excited to see him play. Hasn't done a ton since he got called up. Brandon Rodgers will be back sooner than later, But so I wouldn't be running to go, you know, add Amador if he is playing. But just a heads up, if you did, hurt oblique. Landon Knack of the Los Angeles Dodgers will be called to start the game for the Dodgers on Friday as they need some starting pitching help. The Dodgers don't need a fifth starter next week, though, so we'll see if Knack stays with the team after Friday's start. Robert Gasser, the Milwaukee Brewers, after his third opinion on his forearm elbow situation, elected to have season-ending Tommy John surgery in the coming days. Yu Darvish of the San Diego Padres made it through Wednesday's rehab start feeling great, and he will rejoin the Padres rotation early next week. No exact date, but Tuesday makes a lot of sense because that's when Mazur would be making his start where he took over for Darvish in the rotation. Jose Soriano, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, was placed on the IL with an abdominal infection. That's what made him miss his last start a few games ago. It's so bad he had to go to the IL. That means Zach Plesac gets some more time in the rotation. Don't add Zach Plesac. Mike Yastrzemski of the San Francisco Giants left Thursday night's game with tightness in his left side. Screams oblique injury. He will undergo more testing, though, so we'll see how that goes. Something to monitor. Luis Matos, crushing it in AAA, was PCL Player of the Week last week. Could get a return to the bigs if you want to be a little ahead of that game and speculate. Luis Matos would be one to keep in mind. Joey Loperfido of the Houston Astros is expected to get recalled by the Astros on Friday. Loperfido hit .241 without a home run and four stolen bases in 13 games since he was sent back to AAA. No corresponding move has been announced yet by the Astros, but with Jose Arroyo completely out of the way, maybe Joey Loperfido can see some more time this time around with the Astros. Willie Abreu, after playing a couple of rehab games and homering twice on Thursday night, the Red Sox expect Abreu to be back with the team on Friday, which is great news for fantasy managers everywhere. All right, before we take a look ahead at today's action on the diamond, a peek ahead to Friday, let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. And welcome back to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. I'm your host, Brian Inchkin, a.k.a. KC Bubba. Some hitting highlights from Thursday. Jesse Winker continues to get it done. 2-for-4 with a solo shot on Thursday. Since June 1st, Winker's hitting .389 with 2 homers, 9 runs, 10 RBIs, and a stolen base. The Nationals face a lot of right-handed pitching next week, so giddy up on that one. Cedric Mullins, he was struggling for so long, and now he's not. Mullins went 2-for-6 with a double, a home run, 3 runs scored, and 2 RBIs on Thursday. Mullins has hits in 7 of his last 8 games, and over those 8 games, Mullins is hitting .345 with a home run, 9 runs scored, 3 RBIs, and 2 stolen bases. Jose Miranda, the Minnesota Twins, went 2-for-5 with a home run, a run scored, and 3 RBIs. Big 3-run homer, 2 outs in the 9th to blow the save for Fairbanks and force extras for the Twins. Since June 1st, Miranda's hitting .293 with 3 homers, 5 runs, and 10 RBIs. Not playing every day, but when he plays, being quite productive. Make sure you check out the Daily Batters Box article on PitcherList.com for more details on the day's top hitters. Some starting pitching highlights from Thursday. Ryan Nelson of the Arizona Diamondbacks, 7 innings, 2 earned, 3 hits, no walks, and 2 Ks. He only had 6 whiffs and a 21% CSW, but he only threw 70 pitches in those 7 innings. Quite effective stuff for Nelson versus the Nats. Over Nelson's last 2 starts, he's pitched 13 innings, allowing 3 earned runs with 10 Ks. I will say, though, White Sox, Nationals in those 2 starts, but little glimpses of hope. I wouldn't be all in on him, but Nelson could become a nice little streaming option in the right situations. Mitch Spence of the Oakland Athletics, 6 innings, 2 earned, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks versus the Royals. Pretty solid stuff there. Spence had 13 whiffs and a 28% CSW on 98 pitches. Spence has started 7 games for the Oakland Athletics, allowing 15 earned runs over 37 and two-third innings with 28 Ks. But more impressively with Spence, 5 of the 7 starts, 2 earned runs or less. So big boy stuff there from Mitch Spence. Seth Lugo continues to get things done. He went 6 2/3, 2 earned, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 8 Ks versus the Oakland Athletics. Lugo had 12 whiffs and a 28% CSW on 95 pitches. Since May 1st, Lugo's made 10 starts for the Royals. He's allowed 21 earned runs over 66 innings pitched with 64 strikeouts. And in 8 of the 10 games, 2 earned runs or less. Lugo has just been dominant. Absolutely remarkable watching him back up last year's great performance once again here with the Royals. Make sure to tune into the Plus Pitch Podcast with Nick Pollock and read his daily SP Roundup to get caught up on all things starting pitching. Some relief pitching highlights from Thursday. Paul Sewald picked up his 8th save of the year as the D-backs took down the Nats. Emmanuel Clase saved 22 for the Guardians over Seattle. Pete Fairbanks blew the save, but picked up his second win of the year as Tampa Bay won in 10. Josh Hader picked up his 11th save of the year as Astros beat the White Sox. That's back-to-back days with saves for Hader, which means he's probably not pitching on Friday, folks. So if you're in daily leagues and you're looking for maybe a chance at a cheap save, a Ryan Pressly might be someone to keep in mind. Evan Phillips picked up his 12th save of the year for the Dodgers over Colorado. Chris Stratton picked up his 4th save of the year for the Royals over Oakland. MacArthur pitched earlier in that game in a situational matchup thing. So keep an eye on that. Ryan Helsley picked up his 25th save of the year for the Cardinals as they took down the Giants in Rickwood, as Helsley continues to be the saves leader in all of baseball. Make sure you read the Daily Reliever Ranks article on pitcherlist.com for more information about all things relief pitching. All right, looking ahead to Friday here. Full day of action, actually 14 games because the Giants and the Cardinals have the day off traveling from Alabama. DFS, we have a 10-game main slate starting at 7.05 p.m. Eastern time. Some pitchers I'm looking at here, Chris Sale against the Yankees. Kirby versus Miami will be very popular but understandable. Cutter Crawford in Great American is sneaky. And then DJ Hurz at Colorado should be quite a Kirby Hurz will be a popular combo quite a bit. Some bats I'm looking at on this slate, Washington versus Dakota Hudson and Coors, Seattle versus Trevor Rogers, Minnesota versus Joey Estes is interesting. Toronto at Carlos against Carlos Carrasco might be my favorite non-Coors one. Dodgers versus Patrick Sandoval, and then Boston versus Andrew Abbott. I really like the Toronto because they will be affordable compared to the other ones. Some things I'm looking forward to on this slate, Eric Fetty versus Jack Flaherty. Fetty's been getting away with murder, but Flaherty's been awesome, so I'm trying to see what gives in this one. Chris Sale versus Carlos Rodon, Braves, Yankees, Yankee Stadium, fun series kicking off here. DJ Hurz and Coors as he back up the 13Ks, 6 shutout innings in his last start versus Miami and Coors, wait and see. And then Brady Singer versus Nathan Eovaldi is kind of sneaky on that one, so looking forward to that as well. That'll do it, folks. Another episode in the books. Before we head on out of here, make sure y'all check out pitcherlist.com. PL Plus, PL Pro. You won't regret it. Sign up, join the team, and get some extra perks like the Discord, the awesome tools like PLV Plus, the Weekend Fab podcast by Nick Pollock, projections, and so much more when you're a member at PL Plus and PL Pro. But that'll do it, folks. I'll be back with you guys on Monday, recapping Sunday's action on Diamond, getting you ready for another week of action. Jake Crumpler have you covered on the weekend as usual. But for now, this is your First Pitch Podcast, Friday, June 21st edition. Hope you all have a great day.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.